Shalom and Yeshua. This is Deborah Brandt from Deborah's Messianic Ministries. And I am doing a teaching today on the mikvah or immersion process, which is important to understand if you are going through the mikvah service, which we have other CDs on. But it's important to understand the biblical understanding of what a mikvah is all about. Again, mikvah is about purification. It's about spiritual cleansing from the things that defile us. Ezekiel 36:24-25 says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. One of the most misunderstood teachings in the Bible is immersion. The Bible has much to say about immersion, or the doctrine of washing or baptisms, or what the Jewish people understand as mikvahs, and what the Christian church calls water baptism. The first century believers understood the teachings of different immersions and their purpose. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Messiah, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism and of the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of an eternal judgment. These were basic principles that every Messianic believer in the first century understood. Six elementary teachings. Number one, the foundation of repentance from dead works. Faith towards God. Instructions regarding baptism or mikvahs. The laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead. Again, these are six principal teachings that every new believer, every believer in the first century understood. And eternal judgment. The Jewish people were chosen by God to show all the world the ways of Elohim. Romans 3:1-2 says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of Yahweh, or the words of God. All the festivals, customs, foods, sacrificial system, laws of ritual purity, including immersion, were given to the Jewish people as teaching tools for us to learn more about Messiah Yeshua. We must always realize to keep Messiah Yeshua in the forethought of our studies and realize that all things are to give us a better understanding of what Messiah has done for us and what is in store for us. If we want rest, peace, and contentment in our lives, we must know of Him. Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That word yoke is referring to Torah mitzvot, how to walk according to the Torah. And He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Again, Yeshua never did away with the Torah, but He taught it and He walked it. The entire Bible is written about Messiah. Psalm 40, verse 7, says, behold, in the volume of the book it is written of me. Yeshua Himself quoted this verse to His Talmudim. Torah commandments. There are basically three categories of Torah commandments. First is Mishpatim, literally translated judgments. These are ethical and moral laws. Second are Eidos, literally translated witnesses. And third, Hukim, literally translated decrees. The moral or ethical laws that are necessary for man to live in harmony are known as Mishpatim and are literally translated judgments. The rituals and festivals which awaken us to important religious truths such as Shabbat, the feasts, the tefillin, and the mezuzah that remind us of God's presence are known as Eidos and are literally translated as witnesses. The third group often has no explicit reason given for their existence, except for Israel's identification as God's chosen people to the nation. Deuteronomy 4, verse 6. just go over there and look at that. Let's begin with verse 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, to the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I commanded you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor, for all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you that did cling to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land which you go to possess. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so near to them as the Lord God is in all these things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But teach them to your sons and to your sons' sons. A large portion of the mitzvot only pertain to those living in Israel in the temple services and the priest. There are 613 mitzvot, or commands. 365 commands are called negative, or commands that you should not do. 248 commands are called positive, or commands that you should do. Today, 179 laws relate to how we should treat fellow believers and how to create a peaceful atmosphere through obedience to our King, Yeshua HaMashiach. According to the Dakes Annotated Bible, there are at least 1,047 commands given to us in the Brit Hadashah, or Renewed Covenant. And again, these commands are Torah-based. All of the New Testament is based upon the Torah, God's teachings and instructions, Yeshua, the living Torah. As believers in Yeshua and servants of Yahweh's kingdom, we are commanded to walk by faith and fulfill the Torah by applying its moral principles to our relationships with fellow believers. Rav Shaul taught that he was not delivered from the Torah, but rather was within the framework of the Torah as upheld by the Messiah. The Jewish background of Christian baptism. History of the Jewish mikvah. The term mikvah in Hebrew literally means any gathering of waters, but is specifically used in Jewish law for the waters or bath for the ritual immersion. The building of the mikvah was so important in ancient times that it was said to take precedence over the construction of a synagogue. Immersion was so important that it occurred before the high priest conducted the services on the Day of Atonement, before the regular priests participated in the temple service, before each person entered the temple complex, and before a scribe wrote the name of God, as well as several other occasions. The Mishnah attributes to Ezra a decree that each male should immerse himself before praying or studying. There are several Jewish groups that observed ritual immersion every day to assure readiness for the coming of the Mashiach. The Church Fathers mentioned one of these groups called Hemerobaptist, which means daily bathers in Greek. Among those used to regular immersion were the Essenes and others that the Talmud called Tovali Sharit, or dawn bathers. On the third day of creation, we see that the source of the word mikvah for the first time in Bereshit, or Genesis 1:10, when Yahweh says, to the gathering mikvah of waters he called seas. Because of this reference in Bereshit, or Genesis, the ocean is still a legitimate mikvah, the mikvahot around the temple. The Brit Hadashah, Renewed Covenant, tells us that many of the early Messianic believers' daily activities were centered around the temple. Historically, we know that there were many ritual immersion baths, mikvaot, on the Temple Mount, including one in the Chamber of Lepers situated in the northwest corner of the Court of Women. Josephus tells it that even during the years of war, 66 to 73 AD, the laws of ritual immersion were strictly adhered to. Josephus Wars 4:205. The temple itself contained immersion baths in various places for the priests to use. Even in the vaults beneath the court, the high priest had special immersion pools in the temple, two of which are mentioned in the Mishnah. We are told one of these was in the water gate in the south of the court, and another was on the roof of the Parva chambers. There was an additional place for immersion on the Mount of Olives, which was connected with the burning of the red heifer. A special ramp led to the mikvah on the Mount of Olives from the Temple Mount, which was built as an arched way over another arched way to avoid uncleanness from the graves in the valley below. Recent archaeological excavations have found 48 different mikvaot near the monumental staircase leading into the temple complex. Why be immersed? To the ancient Jew, the mikvah was a process of spiritual purification and cleansing, especially in relation to the various types of terma or ritual defilement when the temple was in use. Although God has not revealed all the meaning of the mikvah, it is obvious because of the amount of space given to it in Scripture and the effort of Yeshua to fulfill it, the command is of utmost importance. Jewish immersion has never been taken lightly, but in ancient times, immersion was to be performed in the presence of witnesses. Prior to the mikvah, they had already bathed and cut their nails and made a fresh profession of their faith before the designated fathers of the baptism. How the immersion was done. Contrary to popular belief, they did not have a minister dunk them backwards in the water. The individual stood straight up with the feet spread and the hands held out in front. The candidate would totally immerse themselves by squatting in the water with the witness or baptized doing the officiation. They had to be totally immersed in the water. They would even flutter their eyelashes to make sure that the water hit every crevice of their body. Matthew 3:16a, and after being baptized, Yeshua went up immediately from the water. Although it is the Jewish belief that repentance is necessary, purification from defilement is done primarily through water, while other effects of sins are covered by blood. We see that in Romans 4:7 and Hebrews 9:22. Note the words, almost all things. The concept of immersion in rabbinic literature is referred to as a new birth. Six important aspects of ancient Jewish immersion. The first aspect, immersion was accompanied by exhortations and benedictions. A convert would reaffirm his acceptance of the Torah by declaring, "I will do and I will hear," which was a phrase from the oath that was originally taken by the priest not to forsake the Torah. This ritual demonstrates the willingness of the convert to forsake his Gentile or pagan background and assume his Jewish identity by taking on the status of one who keeps the commandments. According to a number of Jewish sages, mayim, which is the Hebrew word for water, shares the same root as the word ma, meaning what. This teaching points out that when a person immerses in water, he is nullifying the fleshly ego and is asking, "What am I?" In the same manner that Moses and Aaron did in Exodus 16:7, when they said to God, "We are what?" The second aspect. The Jewish baptism candidates were often immersed three times. The ideal of total immersion comes from the scripture in Leviticus 15:16, when it says, "He shall wash all his flesh in the water." One reason it was customary to immerse three times was because the word mikvah occurs three times in the Torah. Third aspect. According to Jewish law, the immersion had to have a required witness. Dr. William Lasore in the Biblical Archaeological Review says apparently the biblical reference in the name of was an indication of the required witness. In several Brit Hadashah New Testament references such as 1 Corinthians 1:13 and verse 15, Matthew 21:25, Acts 1:22, and Acts 19:3, we see early baptism mentioned in conjunction with the name of individuals such as John and Shaul or Paul. Further information on this can be found in Jewish literature concerning proselyte baptism, where it indicates his baptism required attestation by witnesses in whose name he was immersed. Fourth aspect, the immersion candidate was not touched by the baptizer in Yeshua's day, because Leviticus 15:16 says, "He shall wash all his flesh in the water." Judaism stresses that the entire body must come into contact with the water of the mikveh. Although the mikveh was more spiritual than physical, often the bath had two sets of steps, one entering and another leaving, so as not to defile what had been purified. Fifth aspect, the baptismal water or mikveh in rabbinic literature was referred to as the womb of the world. And as a convert came out of the water was considered a new birth separating him from the pagan world. As a convert came out of these waters, his status was changed and he was referred to as a little child just born or of a child of one day. They would even come out of the water and say, "Born again, born again." We see the Brit Hadashah using similar Jewish terms as born anew, new creation, and born from above. According to Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, rabbinic literature uses the term born again to refer to at least six different occurrences in a person's life. Note each of these life-changing experiences. When a Gentile converts to Judaism, again, this is still done today. When an individual is crowned king. At age 13, when a Jewish boy or girl chooses to embrace God's covenant and to be numbered with the believers, i.e. their bar or bat mitzvah, when an individual gets married, when an individual becomes a rabbi, and when an individual becomes the head of a rabbinical school. Sixth aspect, Jewish law requires at least three witnesses made up of qualified leaders to be present for certain immersions. Ordinarily, a member of the Sanhedrin performed the act of observing the proselyte's immersion, but in the case of necessity, others could do it. Secret baptism was never accepted. One of the most important teachings in Judaism is that of repentance. According to both scripture and rabbinic literature, no matter how great the sin, if a person repents and forsakes the sin before God, he can be forgiven. As we see in the case of John, Yeshua, and all New Testament writers, repentance was always involved. According to David Flusser, the Dead Sea Scrolls, as well as the Brit Hadashah, teach that water can purify the body only if the soul has first been purified through repentance and righteousness. Repentance and righteousness. Acts 2:38, Kepha said to them, "Repent and be immersed," or mikvahed, "every one of you in the name of Yeshua," Yeshua being the witness, "for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh." Acts 3:19, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so that there may come times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." Mark 6:12, "They went out and preached that people should repent." The word repent appears at least 27 times, and the word repentance at least 23 times in the Brit Hadashah. The Greek word is metanoeo, and it means to think differently, or afterwards it is reconsider morally to feel compunction or repent. The Hebrew word is known as teshuvah, which means to turn back to God's ways. Washing of the hands. Washing of the hands is a form of immersion. The method of washing is either by immersion up to the wrist or by pouring a quarter log, approximately 1/2 pint, of water over both hands from a receptacle with a wide mouth, the lip of which must be undamaged. The water should be poured over the whole hand up to the wrist, but it is effective as long as the fingers are washed up to the second joint. The hands must be clean and without anything to adhere to them. Rings must be removed so that the water can reach the entire service. The water should not be hot or discolored, and it is customary to perform the act by pouring water over each hand 3 times. The hand-washing ritual is commonly known as nektilat yadayim, taking water to the hands or lifting of the hands. Water and blood both illustrate God's cleansing in Judaism. Both water, mayim, and blood, dam, are used constantly in the Torah and the Brit Hadashah, or New Testament, as the 2 main agents to illustrate God's cleansing. The Jews believe that uncleanness is not physical, but rather a spiritual condition, as related in Leviticus 11:44, where it states, "By wrong actions, one can make the soul unclean." Therefore, purification through ritual immersion, as commanded in the scripture, is basically involved with the soul rather than the body. Note how water and blood are cited in scripture. 1. Blood is used in cleansing in relation to the Passover lamb. We can see that in Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read all these scriptures for you, so I think it's important that we understand. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper post of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, its head with its legs, and with the pertinence thereof, or entrails. And you shall leave nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remain of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and the staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Then we see the blood used in cleansing in relation to the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. Hallelujah. 16:1. And the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the 2 sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron, your brother, and he come not at all times into the holy place, within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh. And he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. He shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Go down to, we'll go down to verse 14. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Verse 16. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sin, so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Number 3, blood is used in cleansing in relation to the feast offerings. We read in Leviticus 23 the different feast offerings that God requires for the feast of God. These are Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot, along with Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah. Again, if you read all of Leviticus 23, and it talks about the different atonements and the different blood that is required. Blood is used in cleansing in relation to the five Levitical offerings. You can find this in Leviticus chapters 1 to 7. And again, blood is used in cleansing to the relation of the atonement of the soul. Leviticus 17, verse 11 to 14. I will read that. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourns with you shall eat blood. And whatever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunts and catches any beast or fowl, that they may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust. For it is the life of the flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. I said to the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Therefore, who eats it, it shall be cut off. The use of water. Water is used in cleansing in relation to the separation of the ashes of the red heifer. We find that in Numbers chapter 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without spot and without blemish, and upon which never came a yoke. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may bring it forth outside the camp, and shall slay it before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of the blood with his finger and sprinkle of its blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation seven times. And one shall burn the heifer in its sight, its skin and flesh, and its blood with its dung shall you burn. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water. And afterwards he shall come unto the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. Then he that burns it shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his flesh in water, and it shall be unclean until the evening. And a man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, and lay them up outside the camp in a clean place. And it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel, for a water of separation, it is a purification for sin. Water is used in cleansing relation to the consecration of the priestly ministry. We find this in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 6. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Water is also used in the cleansing in relation to the leper in Leviticus 14, verses 1 to 8. And we see Yeshua also as well, when he cleansed the lepers, commanded them to do what the law of Moses commanded them for cleansing. verses 1 to 8, Leviticus 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then the priest's command to take him, for it is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedarwood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it in the cedar wood and scarlet and the hyssop, shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times and shall pronounce him clean and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Water is used in cleansing in relation to the different washings of the law. You find that in Hebrews 9 verse 10. Get over there, Hebrews 9, verse 10. Again, well, let's go up to verse 8. The Rock HaKodesh, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which is a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect or pertain to the conscious, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Yeshua has become a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by man, that is to say, not of this building. Water is used in relation to the remission of sin. Let's look to Acts. I'm going to read some scriptures here. First is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, or mikvah, every one of you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit." Let's go to Acts 22, verse 16. "And now, why tarriest you? Arise, and you shall be mikvahed, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord," or Yeshua HaMashiach. Ephesians 5, verse 26. Again, the early believers of the apostles understood the importance of the Jewish mikvah. 5:26. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." And Hebrews chapter 9, 19-23. Hebrews 9:19-23. "For when Moshe had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law," or Torah, "he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God has enjoined to you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things by the Torah purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. It was necessary, therefore, that the patterns of these things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." Then Titus 3:5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your word. Hallelujah. Okay. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Ruach HaKodesh. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized or mikvahed into Yeshua HaMashiach were baptized or mikvahed unto his death? In John 19:34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And let's go to Mark 16, verse 16. Hallelujah. Let's start with verse 15. He said to them, go you into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized or mikvahed shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:20-21. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereto, even mikvah, does also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God, by the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then 1 John 5:6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Yeshua HaMashiach, not by water only, but water and blood, and in the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. The immersion prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu aha v'la. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and has commanded us concerning the immersion. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehiyanu v'kimanu Vihiga nanu, lazman hazeh. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us alive and preserved us and brought us to this appointed time. A detailed study of the Jewish background to Messianic baptism only shows that it is vitally important. But God doesn't always tell us why. Obviously, the convert could repent and have a part in the life without it. But the emphasis seems to be pointing to the taking on of a new believer status, illustrated as a new birth by immersion. In any covenant with God, the three items of God's word, the blood and a token, are always present. We find this in Genesis 17:11. Immersion in Yeshua HaMashiach has 7 important points. Number 1, belief in Yeshua HaMashiach. We find this in Acts 8:12. But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were mikvahed, both men and women. Verses 34-38. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Yeshua. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is a water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Yeshua HaMashiach is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he mikvahed him. And when they came up out of the water, the spirit of Adonai caught away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Then chapter 16, verse 30 to 34. Let's begin with verse 28. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang up and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Master Yeshua HaMashiach, and you shall be saved in your house." And they spoke to him the word of Adonai and to them that were in their house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and they were mikvahed, he and all his, immediately. Number two, they were immersed in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, again, him being the witness to that immersion. Again, we saw that in Acts 2:38. Let's read that. Again, being immersed in the name of, as they are the witness. So this immersion is that Yeshua HaMashiach is the witness to our mikvah. 2 verse 38. Then Peter said, "Repent and be mikvahed, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh." Acts chapter 8, verse 12. Hallelujah. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, or mikvahed, both men and women. Acts 10:43. To give him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Whose name are they talking about? Yeshua HaMashiach. Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized, or mikvahed, in the name of the Lord, or Yeshua HaMashiach. And they prayed them him to tarry certain days. Acts 19, verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized, or mikvahed, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Again, let's go to the beginning so we get this in context. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain Talmudim, or disciples. He said to them, "Have you received the Ruach HaKodesh since you believed?" And they said to them, "We have not so much heard whether there is any Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "To what then were you baptized, or mikvahed?" And they said, "To John's baptism." Again, they were mikvahed by John the Baptist. And then Paul, "John verily baptized, or mikvahed you with the mikvah of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, Messiah Yeshua." When they heard this, they were baptized, or mikvahed, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Number three, immersed in the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. Find that in John chapter 19, verses 34 to 35. Hallelujah. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bore record, and the record is true, and he knows that he says is true that you might believe. 1 John 5, 6 to 8. This is he that came by water and blood, even Yeshua HaMashiach, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. And then Revelation 1, 5. And from Yeshua HaMashiach, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, or mikvahed us in his blood, immersed us in his blood. Number 4, burial with Yeshua HaMashiach by immersion. We find this in Romans chapter 6, 3-4. Know ye not that so many of us were mikvahed unto Yeshua HaMashiach, were mikvahed unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by mikvah, baptism unto death, that like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Colossians 2:12. Colossians 2:12. Let's begin with verse 11. In whom also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah, buried with him in baptism, or mikvahed, wherefore also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him up from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Number 5, immersion in the likeness of Moshiach's death with head bowed. Again, we read that in Romans 6, 3-8. And let's go to John 19, 30. I hope you're getting a greater appreciation of the mikvah process. Again, you can go through many mikvahs in your life. John 19:30. When Yeshua therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is fulfilled," and bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Immersion by the ministers sent by Yahweh. John 20:21-23. Then said Yeshua to them, "Again, shalom be to you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And he said to them, and he breathed on them, and said to them, "Receive you the Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit. Whosever sins you remit, they shall be remitted to them. And whosever sins you retain, they shall be retained." Hallelujah. Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38. Then Peter, again, we've read this verse before, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for the remissions of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh." So the pattern is, you are born again by faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, by his blood. You are mikvahed in him. You are immersed. He has cleansed you by his blood. After that, you are mikvahed in the water. And then you receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. Number 7, immersion in living water that is created by Elohim. Matthew 3, 5-6. According to Jewish mikveh resources, the mikveh had to be in living, moving water. It cannot be in a stagnant pool. It has to be living, natural water. Again, a lake would suffice. And the mikveh oats that they build in synagogues, they actually have that water, living water, pumped in and it's constantly flowing. So it is according to scriptures. They went out to him in Jerusalem and Judea and all the region around them and were baptized or mikveh to him in Jordan, confessing their sins. I guess this is referring to the baptism of John the Baptist. Then we go to John 3:23, sorry. Again, we see the order, repentance, then mikveh. 3:23. And Yohanan, or John, also was baptizing, or mikvahing them, in Aenon near Salam, because there was much water there, and they came and were mikvahed. And then Jeremiah 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Conclusion: Yeshua was always cautious to have three witnesses in everything he did. 1 John 5, 7-8. Why? Because Torah says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be confirmed. There always has to be at least three witnesses. Two to three witnesses. Again, 1 John 5, 7-8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit or the Ruach, and the water, and the blood. These things agree in one. In the Tanakh, or what the church calls Old Testament, but there is nothing old about the Old Covenant, it is still applicable for today, circumcision was considered a token of God's covenant. In the Brit Hadashah, we see the same wording concerning baptism or mikveh. It is referred to as circumcision made without hands in Colossians 2, 11 to 12. John 3, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. My prayer is to that together we understand clearly the truth that Yeshua is emphasizing that which is born of flesh, our old man, changes status when he is born again of the spirit through the Mayim Hayim, the living water, Yeshua himself. This change of status takes place when we are immersed into Mayim Hayim by the spirit of the living God himself. Therefore, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Have you, by the Spirit of God, been immersed into the Mayim Hayim Messiah Yeshua? Then you have passed through the most radical change. You are a new creation and you have entered the kingdom of God. It is in that kingdom that you live and dwell. It is in that kingdom that all of us have entered by faith can truly know and experience what it is like for God to be our hope, our mikveh. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you some of the sources that I used in this teaching. The Holy Torah, Word of God. Peggy Pryor, Mikveh, A Walk of Purity. Ariel and Devorah Berkowitz, The Mystery of the Mikveh. Dr. Ron Mosley, The Jewish Background of Christian Baptism, Arkansas Institute of Holy Studies. I hope this has blessed you, and if you can, get the other teaching series on the mikveh, where we deal with generational curses, and it'll be a blessing to you. Shalom and Yeshua HaMashiach from Deborah Brandt, Deborah's Messianic Ministry. Shalom Aleichem.